You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the podcast network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome to episode 49 of the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, December 10th, 2008. I'm Martin Spriggs.
And I'm Sally Draper.
And we are your weekly hosts for a conversation about technology, especially, hopefully, as it applies to your ministry. Thank you again for joining us, and welcome, Sally. How are you?
I'm great, Martin. Looking forward to all the cool technology things we're going to discuss today.
Are we going to talk about cool technology things?
Well, yeah.
Is that why we're here?
That's what it's all about. Yeah.
Well, what cool technology things should we talk about today?
Well, I'm looking forward to digging into this book I've been reading.
Yes.
And had a lot of anticipation of sharing some ideas from Here Comes Everybody by Clay Shirky. It's a really interesting book, and it's really got me thinking about a lot of different angles of technology and ministry. And so it's a good thing for us to discuss, I believe.
Well, do you remember where you heard about the book?
It was all over the blogosphere this summer. Everybody had it on their must-read summer reading list. So I picked it up this summer and delved into it at that time, and just found it very interesting and thought it was worth sharing.
Yeah, we should talk a little bit about the concept here, because this is not a, let's say, a religious book per se. So it's not about theology. It's really not even about the church, right?
That's right. I think if I were to characterize it, I don't know, it's definitely technology, new technology, social media, but kind of that sociology and even a little economics kind of edge to it of where the world is going and how this is transforming our world.
Yeah, I think you hit on a key word there, sociology. It's about people, and it's about communication. And when we think about the church, or we think about our organizations as groups of Christians and our mission to reach out to other people who do not know about their Savior, this is really applicable, especially as now as it relates to technology. And that's obviously the premise for our whole show, is where does technology meet ministry? And I think this is a great example of that. So what we're going to try and do over the course of, you know, I don't know how many weeks we'll work on this, but we'll probably take a chapter at a time here and there and pick out relevant concepts. And if you'd like to read along, as Sally mentioned, the book is Here Comes Everybody, The Power of Organizing Without Organizations. The author's Clay Shirky. That's S-H-I-R-K-Y. I think you can find this in most bookstores, but you can definitely find it on Amazon. And we'll put a link to one of those in the show notes as well if you'd like to follow along. It's a pretty quick read. I don't know how many chapters there are, but we're going to try, bang out a chapter at a time and maybe sprinkle this over the course of a few months just to mix things up a little bit. But it might be helpful if you grab a copy and read along. I think it would be a couple of coins well spent, because there's some, I think there's some application here for ministry, and we're going to try and ferret out those as we discuss, Sally and I, back and forth about the different concepts within the book. Maybe we should start talking about who Clay Shirky is. I just jotted down a couple notes from the back jacket cover. And basically, he is a writer, a teacher, a consultant on social and economic effects of the internet. So he spends most of his time thinking about the effect of the internet on culture, on society, on people. He's on the faculty at NYU. And his specialty at that institution is interactive telecommunications. He's part of that program, the interactive telecommunications program. And it says also that he's consulted for companies like Nokia, Procter & Gamble, News Corp, BBC, the Navy, and Lego.
Oh, Lego. That's a top on the list around the Draper household. I guess I would add that Clay Shirky is quite a storyteller. And, I think if you pick it up and read it, you're gonna find stories around this technology changes that we're experiencing. And then from those stories, he weaves in, the implications and the sociological aspects of what's going on around us.
Right, right. So without further ado, maybe we should just dig in. We're not going to do any reading, of course. We're just going to grab nuggets from the chapters that we're going through, kind of give you a quick summary, and then probably the most important part of our conversation that maybe our listeners would be most interested in is application. You know, the what, you know, as good Lutherans, what does this mean? So let's see if we can do that. The first chapter is entitled, It Takes a Village to Find a Phone. What's that all about, Sally?
Well,
sounds
again,
like Hillary Clinton, huh?
Yeah, exactly. It starts with a story, a true story of a lady named Ivana in New York City who accidentally left her cell phone in the back of a taxi cab. And, you know, that probably happens hundreds of times a year in New York City taxi cabs. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it was very important to her. She was planning her wedding. It had all the information about that.
It was one of these smartphones, right? It was a Sidekick, which I'm not sure if they sell anymore. Maybe they do. But basically, it had all of her contact information, all of her wedding plans, obviously all of her, you know, phone numbers, important stuff in her life. So kind of it was important to her.
Yeah, and the interesting twist is after she, you know, realized her mistake and tried to find the phone, she eventually bought another Sidekick. And what was cool was her cell phone company transferred all the data from her old Sidekick, which was archived on their servers, to her new Sidekick. Mm-hmm. And in the process of doing that, they unlocked the mystery of where the cell phone had ended up, because mm-hmm. The young lady who had the cell phone was using it and taking pictures with it and all those kind of things. And that actually, you know, revealed to Ivana and her friends the identity of the person who ended up with her lost cell phone.
Yeah, this was a teenager, I think high school age, later high school age maybe, named Sasha, who lived in a different part of New York. But basically, they were able to find out who she was based on different things that she had put on the phone, not knowing that this information would get back to Ivana over the course of time. What happened next, though, was really the interesting part, and that's why I think it's featured as the lead chapter in the book. So obviously, when you find out who's got your phone, you're going to want to try and, you know, maybe arrange that phone to get back to you. And what happened when she tried to do that?
Right. It changes from being just a lost cell phone to one that you potentially could recover. And that,
right.
That turned into an interesting story, because Ivana's friend tried to contact Sasha, and eventually, you know, meeting with a brick wall, Sasha said, no way, you're not getting the phone back, kind of thing, put the story out on a web page on the internet, mm-hmm. and shared it with his friends. And from there, the snowball effect just really took course. The power of the internet and the social media that it is spread the story very quickly. It got picked up by news channels and media sources. There were different types of people that were reading the story, from mm-hmm. policemen to lawyers and all of that, and they were all offering advice on how they could get the cell phone back, what their legal repercussions mm-hmm. were, all those kind of things.
So one of the interesting things was that they didn't really know exactly who Sasha was. They just kind of had a picture. But through the broad publicity this was receiving on the internet, that there was this great injustice going on, that even though Sasha knew now who the phone belonged to, she wouldn't give it back to Ivana. So Evan, who was Ivana's friend, you know, obviously made a big deal of this. And through the wonders of technology and the social networks that are today, people figured out exactly who Sasha was. She had a MySpace page. They matched up the pictures. They found a last name. They found an address. They found a phone number. They found all kinds of information that Sasha had revealed about herself on the internet. And that ultimately led to, at the end of the story, recovery of the phone. So what really happened is Evan started out very small with a kind of a private website that he shared with his friends. It got dug. And when I say got dug, that's kind of a new... how would you describe that, getting dug, Sally? There's a site called dig.com that rates sites and articles. And what eventually happened is Evan's site and his story and Ivana's story got on Dig, which has millions and millions of viewers, and thus this snowball effect happened.
Right. When you hit the front page of Dig, then more and more people obviously know about it. I think at one point Evan was getting like 10 emails a minute mm-hmm. from people looking to help him. Everybody was feeling this injustice, thinking this phone should be really be returned. He even got some insider information about the New York Police Department and how to properly file, you know, mm-hmm. to make it a stolen item instead of just a lost and found type item.
Because the police had originally tagged it as a lost item, and they really wouldn't do anything, obviously.
Right.
So, go ahead.
Eventually, they arrested Sasha and mm-hmm. retrieved the cell phone. I mean, it escalated to that point because of the internet, basically, the power of groups on the internet and how people organized around this cause to get Ivana her phone back. Pretty amazing.
Yep. So how did all that happen, or how was all that possible, really is the question that Clay Shirky raises in the opening chapter here of the book. And this is a great example because even five years ago, and certainly not 10 or 20 years ago, this would never have been possible. The phone would have been gone. There would have been no recourse. It would have been lost property. And even if you had kind of an inkling of who had it, you know, there was never an ability to raise this to a level where so many people would have paid attention to it that all of this would have happened.
Right. You know, if we look back at our communication mechanisms in the past, we had telephones and letters and telegrams. We could talk basically to one person at a time. And Ivana's story just demonstrates how the word could get out to the whole world mm-hmm. Via the internet about her one lost cell phone in New York City. So just a really powerful tool that we have with the internet for communication. It's changed everything.
Yep. There are a couple of key phrases that I yanked out of this chapter. One talks about a one-person media outlet, and that's essentially what these internet tools have done for us. It has essentially eliminated the cost of publishing. The cost of publishing has essentially collapsed, so there really is no cost to get the word out, to self-publish, to share your message. So there is incredibly powerful things that can happen as a result if what you have to say resonates, you know, with somebody or groups of people.
Right. I think our Wells Tech podcast is a good example of that, Martin. You know, a year ago, we couldn't dream of bringing together tech-minded Wells members across the world, basically. Mm-hmm. And now here, you know, I can call John Shoesmith and Jeff Clark and John Simonson, my close friends, and we're going to meet another friend today, Ray Brown. And, you know, it's just really exciting to see how groups like that can form.
Mm-hmm. And I've never met before and may never meet, at least in person.
Right.
But again, there's a group that has formed based around a cause or a concept or a topic. And one of Clay Shirky's points here in the opening chapter is that human beings are essentially social creatures. They're not meant to be alone. We saw that obviously way back in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't good for the man to be alone. We're meant to be in a community with each other, to gather around different areas of interest or family units or church units. And that's really, I think, the kind of the neat part about this chapter, where how those people gather, how those groups gather is widening, is changing, where it's not always just this face-to-face concept. It's a virtual gathering that has, you know, different dynamics to it.
Right. Just listening to you describe that, you know, before you said church units, I'm thinking that's exactly what our congregation is for, that we gather together around our common faith and worship together and support each other, you know, in our congregations. And now that whole concept within the church can take another step in that we can gather electronically using these communication mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. There's a quote that I wrote down here, I think in the middle of the chapter. which he kind of touches on the impact this may have on, we said at the beginning, this is not really about the church or religion. That's not why he wrote the book, but he does touch on it in a couple different places. He says the centrality of group effort to human life means that anything that changes the way groups function will have profound ramifications for everything from commerce and government to media and religion. And I think it just makes sense because religion is, or the church is, gathered around the group concept, right? Now forming groups has gotten even easier. There needs to be less structure to it. Remember, the former technologies were one-to-one. When we're talking about the phone or letters or telegrams, really that's all changed now, that you can get more than two people together at the same time very, very easily.
Absolutely. And I think what Clay's trying to do and what you and I actually are trying to do with this podcast is kind of look at the future and predict where this is going to land us, mm-hmm. you know, having all of this, because right now we're just figuring it out and we're making a lot of mistakes with it. And we're seeing the ramifications of it demonstrated to us with stories like Ivana's, but we don't really know where all that's going to land.
Right.
In particular in terms of our church organization and communication within the church, we're really trying to kind of look into the future and see how it's going to all shake out when all of these things become commonplace to us, not, you know, the amazing things that we're observing now, but more the norm that we can communicate this way, and that's the way we communicate with everything, this broad-based communication, not one-to-one. And, mm-hmm. You know, where is that leading us with our congregational efforts, our efforts to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Yep. When I think our listeners, the Wells Tech listeners, are probably above average, technically speaking. I would say, you know, the people that we hear from are into technology. They're at least interested enough to listen to a technology podcast. So they may not be the typical church leader. I think what has to happen is churches need to recognize they are part of a culture that is changing very fast, at least technologically. And the point of the book is when things are changing technologically, it's not just a certain segment of the population. It is the members of your church, and it is the prospects that your church has on its prospect list. They are all part of this culture that is changing so rapidly because of technology and because of the advances in communications that it would be foolish to not engage leadership in a church about a conversation about how to harness these new digital or virtual groups that are going to form with or without you, within the church or without the church.
Right. I think I remember a quote from a speaker I heard once that was, you know, the conversation is going to happen. Are you going to be part of it? Or, you know, mm-hmm. are you going to choose to let it happen around you and ignore it, basically?
Right.
So, yes, these groups are forming. I just was out on Facebook and saw, you know, there's a Luther Prep Class of 2002 group now, and there's a SimGems and former SimGems, so Wives of Pastors group forming, mm-hmm. you know. And so it is going to happen. People are going to use these tools and begin to communicate in this broader sense and form these groups. I'm thinking within our own congregation, particularly a moms group, moms supporting moms, you know, might be a way to harness that and even make it broader to introduce other moms from outside the congregation or whatever. So mm-hmm. Lots of potential there.
Yeah, so don't be fooled looking around at your congregation saying, hey, they're not digitally connected. I think all of them, all is a big statement. All of them will be. I think I could mm-hmm. say that. Mm-hmm. They're all getting there. Certainly the generation that is our high school and college age kids, you know, they're already there. They've been there for 4 or 5 years. I think people our age, Sally, probably are there as well, and even more and more of the older generation. I'm not putting myself or you in that category yet, but
thanks, Martin.
But it's growing, and these groups need to be harnessed. I think, and this is where technology meets ministry. How are you going to use technology to make these groups even more effective and to enable them to do what they want to do? So we can think of a lot of different kind of groups within the church, and we could map them easily to what could be done with the communication tools, the social networking tools that are around today. I think of church leaders. I think of teachers. Maybe you think around, perhaps around spiritual gifts, your evangelists, your encouragers, your teachers, etc. You mentioned the moms group, the choir, school, PTO, all kinds of ways that those groups can gather around areas of interest or missions or purposes where technology can help.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm just thinking about this time of year when everybody's interested in buying new shiny things for placing under the Christmas tree or whatever. And, you know, maybe people don't understand exactly what that MP3 player, that iPhone or whatever it is that they're getting for Christmas is going to do for them, but they're going to begin to figure it out, you know, mm-hmm. as more and more people get more and more of these tools and just, you know, unlock and grasp the concept of this communication mechanism that's at their fingertips now, you know, we're just going to see more and more of these kind of groups forming.
So I think the title of the book is appropriate. Here comes everybody, and that means the church too. And when we think about what direction we're headed, what kinds of things we should be thinking about within the church, this has to be part of the conversation. So that's why we're talking about it, right, Sally?
Absolutely. And we have an interesting interview that I think ties in well to it about communication. And in general, we're going to talk with Ray Brown this morning about video email, which is just another communication channel that he's making use of out in Las Vegas at Summerlin Lutheran Church. It's going to be real interesting, I think, for our listeners to hear about what Ray's doing there.
Yeah, great story. Ray is the congregational assistant there, and he's got his own unique story about how he came to faith and then came to be a part of the ministry team there at Summerlin Lutheran. So let's listen to our conversation with Ray about video email. Joining us today on the Wells Tech Podcast is Ray Brown, congregational assistant from Summerlin Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. Welcome, Ray.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Did I get all that right?
You did. Okay. Yeah, that's great.
Tell us, first of all, who Ray Brown is and what is a congregational assistant. Some of our listeners may not be familiar with that position in our congregations.
I understand. Yeah, well, I started my life real similar to a story, I think, that floats around Lutheran circles. I was a Roman Catholic monk in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I hear that all the time.
And, I was studying to be a priest. And what happened was, once I started reading the Bible, I knew that I noticed there was contradictions between Scripture and tradition. And does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think they were happy to see me go. And through a mutual agreement between my superiors and myself, I left the seminary and the Catholic Church. And now it's 35 years later, and I've had a happy marriage, and I've had the privilege of raising three kids and a successful business career. And a couple of years ago, I had a real severe back operation, and it limited what I could do physically.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that time that I got called by the church to be the congregational assistant here at Summerlin Lutheran. Now, what is a congregational assistant? That's it's a program that's actually administered by Wells out of Dr. Olson's office over at Martin Luther College.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's under the auspices of the Pastoral Studies Institute over at the seminary.
Right.
It has currently four, as of last week, I talked with Dr. Olson's secretary, Mrs. Fisher, and there's 45 full and part-time CAs working now within Wells, and there's another 135 or so that are actively studying. Even two of the provinces in Canada have students that are studying to be CAs. You can be, as I said, full or part-time, and either a man or a woman. One of the nice things is that you can start your studies and be called and then complete your studies while you're in the program. The academic part normally takes 3 to 5 years, so you can start and then get your feet on the ground and running right away and learn while you are on the job. The individual congregation determines what role you'll play. For instance, I'm the Sunday adult Bible study teacher. We have about 40 to 50 people in that class. And then additionally, I take the pastor's place in discussions with the Sunday school superintendent, and I'm in charge of our evangelism program. And in addition, I'm in charge of fellowship, which includes we have a separate building called the Fellowship Hall, and I take care of that, the physical aspects of that. I'm full-time. I work Monday through Friday, and I work Sunday morning. So that's myself.
Well, you are the first congregational assistant we've had on the show, so congratulations for that. But that's not why we wanted to have you on the show, even though that's a nice bonus to let some of our listeners know about that. Maybe even some of our listeners would be interested in the program. So,
you know, there is a website. It's WellsCap, WellsCap.org.
Very good. We wanted to talk to you about an innovative use of technology that you shared with us and you thought maybe might be useful to other congregations and or schools, the use of video email. And you use a program, and I assume there's more than just this one, but the one that you use is something called Hello World email. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you kind of came across that and maybe some of the uses for it?
Well, it is a company that's been here in Las Vegas for a number of years, 4 or 5 years. And what it does is it streams, its primary purpose is to stream video. And while originally the idea that wasn't for video email, I ran across it because someone sent me a video email. And it was amazing because here I could see the guys talking to me, and I had no idea what this person looked like. For instance, you know what I look like, but I don't know what you guys look like. I don't know if that's a plus or a minus, especially in my case. I'm a little balding, short of hair. But you can also do some fun things with that. In one of the emails I sent you, I had the funny cap on, and I was able to take that off. For our Thanksgiving video presentation, I'm going to have a pilgrim hat on and things like that.
So explain some of the technical aspects of making this happen so that people kind of, I think people understand what we're talking about, but in essence, there's a process you need to go to make this happen.
Yeah, it's actually very easy. There's a program called Hello World. And by the way, if you would like to see what it looks like, you can just email me at summerlinlutheran.org, raybrown@summerlinlutheran.org, and I'll be happy to send you an email that shows you exactly what this looks like. But if you can imagine this, it's a video picture, and then it has three banners. Each of these banners, by the way, are clickable that you can link to any other site that you want to, or back to a Hello World site where you might have a presentation. For instance, I have a 45-minute presentation about do you know if you're going to go to heaven? Of course, that's an evangelism point, but I made that for the purposes of whenever I'm talking to somebody, either a member or a non-member, that, you know, may want to really question what is Christianity all about? Anyway, it's very simple requirements. You need a computer that has about 2 meg RAM.
2 gigs and, RAM, I assume.
Oh, yeah, 2 gigs, sorry. And 2 megahertz
processor.
Chip.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant. And then a broadband connection. And then anybody who has a broadband connection on the receiving side can pretty much see the streaming video. Mm-hmm. The problem with video emails in the past has always been that the attachment, when you attach it, you're only going to get a few seconds because the attachment itself would be very, very, very large.
Right.
And so what this company does is uploads your video to its servers, and then essentially you're sending a link to whoever you're emailing to. And then what they do is they would open the link, and then it would stream off of the computers here in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, so when you record the video, I assume you're using a webcam. How long does it take for it to upload to the servers in Vegas?
It is very quick.
Awesome.
Yeah. I have done as much as a 45-minute presentation, and I think it took like 3 minutes to upload. Normally a 2-minute email, and by the way, most people don't want a 45-minute email,
mm-hmm. Right.
No matter how good you look. and the thing is that a 2-minute email would take seconds to upload. It's very fast.
So it's recorded locally and then you upload it, or is it streaming it as you record it?
Actually, what happens is your computer does a cache or a temp file or something,
okay,
and then it uploads it all at one time. You actually download all the programs from them, and it's all done. It's everything is web based,
mm-hmm.
And then all you really need is all we have is a ball computer, the little ones that sit on top of your monitor,
sure,
or you could even use the one in your laptop if you have one in your laptop.
Mm-hmm.
What was really I thought this would be a very expensive proposition when I first looked into it, and what really got me going on it was that it only cost $9.95 a month to do this. And I even contacted the distributor here in Las Vegas who's trying to roll this out, and they said even for Wells, if you click on the link in my email, if you send for an email at raybrown@someonewithman.org, they'll rebate us 20%. So on even on a $9.95 subscription, $2 would come back, and then I would send that back to either to Wells or to the church or congregation or even to the school.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things you could actually do. For instance, President Schrader could do a video broadcast where he could literally broadcast to all the pastors at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be either archived or live.
So how are you using this on the congregational level? What are some examples of applications
for it?
And how have you found that to go?
Well, basically, we're using it with members to connect to our members. Let's say, and this is the one where we first started using it, let's say that you notice that maybe there's a member that's been missing a couple of weeks. And first I will email them a message and hi, and then if it's been a couple of more weeks, maybe the pastor will, just to try and find out what's going on, to maybe get them back in church or have them give us a call or another email reply to find out what's going on. We use this for congratulatory messages. Somebody does something good, or we want to do something very personal because, mm-hmm. Here they're seeing the pastor or myself or one of the board members or an elder. And that's the main reason. Now, we also use it with non-members. We use a blue card system. We have a visitor they will fill out a blue card, and a lot of times they won't leave a phone number for the pastor to call them back,
mm-hmm.
but they will leave an email.
Oh,
and
really?
This way we can very personally conduct a little bit of evangelism, and remember there's that top banner. All the banners are changeable, but especially the top one has got our, how do you know you're a Christian banner, and then on our large banner is a picture of our church, and it connects to our website. So it is a way of reaching out. Pastor will be doing a Thanksgiving and a Christmas message to everybody that has broadband in our church.
Mm-hmm.
It seems about 50% of our church currently has broadband, and I think that's consistent with national norms.
Do you find that people are more likely to open up a video email than to read a traditional email?
Yeah, because it's fun. I think when I first, I get a lot of video emails now, both from members and from people who are using, because you get into a little bit small community, and I always like to go and open those first because it's just more fun. It's not mundane.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I still use regular email for just quick replies back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that we do is we help our members use email themselves. For instance, we started out helping this family who had a son who's in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
and he has a ability to actually see and hook up with his mom and dad. And that is a great thing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and you could do it also with missionaries. And primarily with people back home, even if they don't have the program, you can send them a video email. And in the case of Iraq, those people could actually chat back and forth as long as they're, everyone's up at the same time and you go to a prearranged place on the site. And then the other thing is that when you're talking about families that have, we live here in Las Vegas, well, there's almost nobody that was born in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't think there's hardly anybody in our church unless they're young children. Have been
mm-hmm.
born here, and most of us live. I'm from Milwaukee myself, and the pastor's from Minnesota, and we can send back greetings to our families that are very personal, and that they can see what we look like, and then in turn, a lot of times these people will get the program, and then we can converse back and forth, and there's almost no limit to what can be done. For instance, we have a new pastor who just graduated from the seminary, and he got sent out here to do an exploratory mission. And I suggested to him that maybe he should try our local Christian radio station and do a half an hour or an hour program. So I was able to do, using this software, I was able to actually do a prototype radio program. All I did was shut off the video, and I did a half an hour prototype radio program so he could actually see, or hear in this case, what I was talking about. You're only limited by your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing from you. It's neat to hear your enthusiasm for the potential of these tools. And I think you're right that a lot of people have been in the audio world for a while because video has been kind of inaccessible. But now with broadband getting more and more coverage, you're going to see more and more video options like Hello World out there. And I think having the vision that you have and applying it to our ministry circumstances is what it's going to take. And some of it's going to be trial and error. I see that you've done some really exciting stuff, and I bet, others will enjoy learning from your experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that in terms of the broadband, the reason broadband exists, at least for me, is for video and audio, and that we can send this, and it's not just text anymore. It is it is the full featured presentation, if you will, of the gospel, or just fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters.
Ray, we want to wish you the Lord's richest blessings and continued blessings on your work there. We'd love to get updates periodically. It sounds like this is just in almost in the beginning stages, and I think it's only limited by our creativity. I'd love to continue discussions with you at a later date to see how things are going. If anybody else out there is doing similar things, we'd love to hear your experiences as well. That's one of the reasons we do the show, is so that we can share these experiences, ideas, and further the gospel in whatever way we can. So we will put all the links that Ray mentioned in the show notes. So if you'd like to grab those, they will be there, or communicate with Ray directly. Ray is not shy, and he will, I'm sure, send you his own video email personalized just for you. Hope I didn't speak out of turn, Ray.
Can I give my email one more time?
You sure can.
It's Ray Brown, just the way it sounds, all run together, Ray Brown, at SummerlinLutheran.org. Summerlin is spelled S-U-M-M-E-R-L-I-N. I think everyone can spell Lutheran.org.
Is that in Las Vegas proper?
Yeah, it is. It is. We actually are the largest master plan community, in fact, one of them in the United States. And Summerlin is actually the old ranch of Howard Hughes, and they had built a very, very large housing development on it, and that's what we serve.
Beautiful. I'm sure there's no shortage of prospects in Las Vegas.
Right on that.
All right. Thanks again, Ray. Appreciate your time.
God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, we thank Ray for joining us. He is the energy that Ray has is I wish I had more, and the innovation and the things that he's trying, with seeming success is just is very heartwarming. He's got he followed up with us with an email talking about a Christmas outreach CD that they've developed there too. Another innovation, right?
That's right, a different project, but again, using technology. They pulled together musicians in their congregation and recorded Christmas music that's copyright-free from the public domain. And then their pastor also recorded readings and a Christmas message to go along with that, and put together an audio CD for distribution. And they're using it to feed their members as well as an outreach tool. Thought this was just a great idea. Each member of the congregation got 3 copies of the CD wrapped up, beautifully presented to them, and one was for them to keep and 2 were for them to share. They were encouraged to give the CDs away so that the Christmas message could get out to the community there in Las Vegas.
Again, our thanks to Ray, and blessings on your work, Ray. And maybe we'll have you back on. I'm sure you'll be thinking up something new in the next 6 to 12 months. We'd love to kind of keep tabs on what's going on there in Summerlin and how that's going, because it really epitomizes what we're trying to talk about here, different ways to use technology that makes sense in our ministries. Up next, our picks of the week. Sally, you have a pick this week, I assume?
Oh, I sure do, and it's a fun one. I was looking around for something to do for my Christmas newsletter online, some way to share our year of 2008 on our family website, and I came across a really awesome website called scrapblog.com. So for those of you that are scrapbookers, this is going to speak to you, probably not a huge number in our technology audience. However,
well, if there's a website about it, maybe they'll get interested.
Yeah, it definitely could be used at a congregational and school level as well, which is why I chose to share it here.
Yeah.
But basically, they provide you with backgrounds and cool little widgets, graphical type things to add to your page. And then you put together your images. You can embed video, you can add music and text with it, and put together this flash object that's really easy to add to any web page or to send people links to, and they can watch it on the Scrapblog web page. I was thinking about congregations and schools using it to just promote an event or just to reach out with the gospel message. Maybe you'd want to do a little presentation with the Christmas message or whatever. Maybe students in your school would enjoy using this tool for a class project. It's a Web 2.0 tool. You work with it totally online, and it's really easy to do and actually a lot of fun to do as well. So if you're looking for a creative way to share some information, music, video, images, that kind of thing, this may be the website for you, scrapblog.com.
Very cool. Thanks, Sally. Mm-hmm. Great timing for that, too. I think the Christmas season is a good thing, good time to talk about those kinds of things for projects and, you know, capture those memories.
Absolutely.
My pick is from Microsoft, and it's been around for a while, but they basically upped the ante a little bit. It's called SkyDrive. First of all, it's Windows only. Actually, I shouldn't say it's Windows only. It's really not. There are certain components that you'll be able to enjoy if you have a Windows machine. But basically, SkyDrive is a cloud-based storage facility where you can store up to 25 gigabytes of whatever you want to store. There are some caveats. You have to have a Live.com account or a Windows Live account. It's free, and you don't have to be on a Windows machine to get it. You just need a browser. So you go to Live.com. You can sign up and get a Live ID. Many of you probably already have a Live ID if you've ever had a Hotmail account, or there's many other reasons to get it. If you use Instant Messenger, you already have a Windows ID. So any of those people, and you can get it for free, you know, but sign up. And what comes with that now is the ability to register for this SkyDrive facility. There are some limitations. It used to be 5 gigabytes. Now it's 25 gigabytes. So we'll put a couple links in the show notes. But you can upload anything that you want. The max right now, and this is one of the limitations that I don't care for, is that the biggest file that you can upload is 50 megabytes. So if you've got some larger photos maybe, you may be kind of trapped there. But I think that eventually they're going to up that. But to my knowledge, this is the largest storage site that's available now, at least for free. There are others as well. So all you need is a browser, an account, and then upload away. Great way to back up important files or put files up in the cloud that you want to access from anywhere. So if you put it up there, your 25 gigabytes of whatever, all you really need is an internet connection and a browser to pull that stuff down or view it. So it can be pictures, it can be files of any kind that you want to store up there. So the price is right. If you want to download a free utility called Gladinet, that's Gladinet at gladinet.com, you can actually create a virtual directory on your desktop where you can drag and drop things in and out of this SkyDrive, so you don't even have to go to the web. It just acts like a folder or a shortcut on your desktop. That would be a great facility for doing backups. Just remember that 50 megabyte limit, but 25 gigabytes is a lot of storage. So that's SkyDrive, and we'll put a couple links as to how to log in and where to find the more information about it if you're interested. But take advantage of it, and I think this shows that Microsoft is just getting into this game, and they're kind of the big bully on the block. So who knows what they're going to do with some of these things. They can probably outdo some of the other competitors in the space just because of their size. And that's good for us because that gives us options, and they're getting into this cloud-based storage in a big way with 25 gigabytes of space.
You know, Martin, it just takes a little bit of a computer glitch to really understand cloud-based computing. I've had some problems the last 2 weeks with my laptop, and being able to put my hands on my files regardless of what machine I was on just became really a huge blessing for me, you know. And so I think I could enjoy this cloud-based computing and get away from local storage for some of my important files, or at least back up,
right,
you know, my local storage so that I can have access to it if something happens to my machine.
Even our show notes, or not our show notes, but our notes for the show, We use, I don't know if we've recommended this as a pick or not, MindMeister, it's MindMeister.com, but basically it's a mind map in the cloud, which allows us to collaborate and put all this stuff on the internet. So all you really need is a browser, right? Yeah, an internet connection and a browser. So even though you were kind of dead in the water with one machine, you go on your home machine and still get in this map and add things, and we could do the show, basically, right?
That's right. So. It demonstrates its power for you when it comes through for you like that. It was really, really nice.
Mm-hmm. Sally, you wanted to mention something on Wells.net that you want to make sure our visitors don't forget about?
That's right. Just pointing you to the RSS abilities on Wells.net. And for our listeners, I'm guessing a lot of you probably are familiar with RSS. Stands for Really Simple Syndication. Basically, it's a way to have your computer retrieve new content from the web on your behalf without having to go and seek it out. And we have a whole web page dedicated to RSS on Wells.net. It's wells.net/jump/RSS. So if it's new technology for you, you can go there and learn about it. And what's cool about it is it can retrieve it for you personally using an RSS reader. Those are built into the current versions of Internet Explorer and Firefox browsers, and I'm sure Safari as well has RSS capabilities. But you can also use these headlines or this new information that's posted to the website to add to your own website. So if you're a church webmaster, it's a great way to dynamically update your web pages without having to do any work. Once it's set up, it'll go out to the Wells.net website and grab daily devotions or articles from the Together newsletter or from Through My Bible in 3 Years. Whatever content you're interested in subscribing to, you can display it right there on your website, automatically updating it as the content is refreshed on the Wells.net website. A very, very powerful tool, and I just encourage you to dig in and learn more about it if you aren't already making use of it.
Yep, very good. Mm-hmm. Up next, our community feedback. We're not going to share everything, but we did get something from our friend John Simonson. What is John sharing with us?
John had a cool link. With it being the Christmas time of year, our friends at Dirt Devil, which is a vacuum cleaner company, are giving away a really interesting vacuum cleaner, very techie-oriented. It is a USB-powered vacuum cleaner, a little small one that you can use to clean your keyboard with. And they're giving away one per day, December 1st through 12th. So still a few days left on this offer, and we'll include a link to it in the show notes. If you want to register each day, you may be the lucky winner of a Dirt Devil quick vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, unfortunately, some of our listeners may not be listening to this in time, so that's just a reminder that you ought to download this and listen to it as soon as it's physically available, right?
That's right. Early on Wednesday morning, you should be able to load up your MP3 player and take it along for the ride.
And tune in next week because we have a bunch of feedback that we've been storing up. We've been hoarding it, Sally, over the last 3 weeks because there's just been so much that we really didn't want to extend the show so long because a lot of the topics that were raised would be worthy of a conversation. So in essence, that's what we're going to do next week is spend a little bit longer time in the community feedback section talking about some of this feedback, some excellent websites that have been shared, approaches, thoughts. So we'll kind of title next week's show as Community Feedback Show, and we're going to bundle that with the second chapter of Here Comes Everybody, and that's entitled Sharing Anchors Community. So if you are reading along, make sure you get chapter 2 under your belt, and Sally and I will be leading off the show with that. And then jumping into an extended community feedback section. And it's obviously not too late to get your community feedback mentioned on the show. Go to wellstech.wells.net and post a comment there. You can email us at wellstech@wells.net. All kinds of other ways to get in touch with us. Just go to the website and you can see many, many ways to do that. Well, Sally, that is another show in the can. I'm enjoying this book again. This is second read through it, and hopefully our listeners will maybe latch onto this and pick out some things that maybe make sense in their particular ministries and their particular settings. But I'm going to enjoy getting through this again and really kind of talking through some of the concepts rather than just kind of the quick read I made through it the first time.
Right. That whole ministry application is really exciting to delve into and just kind of spend some time wrapping our brains around, you know, what the possibilities are.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to about do it. Let's close the show with some beautiful Christmas music from Dawn Gelhart. She has a whole Christmas album. Maybe we'll pull a couple more of her songs here between now and the end of the year as well, kind of go out of our regular rotation, because she's just got some beautiful instrumental piano pieces. And this one is Carol of the Bells from her album Christmas Dreams. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We will talk to you next week. Mm-hmm.